not even actually pray for it. You were just hoping that God would just make it happen. Come on. We probably all have done that. Just, you know, maybe in the back of our mind, we just thinking, okay, God, I need this, and I'd like you to make this happen. But we didn't really pray about it. We didn't seek God. We seek God about it. Some of us sometimes spend a lot of time wondering if God is listening to us. If our prayers aren't answered within our own set time frame, then we begin to what? We begin to challenge God, or we begin to think that, God, you're not listening or you're not paying attention to my needs. You ever felt that way? If God doesn't answer your prayer in your time frame, when you want it to happen, you feel like God doesn't care about you? You feel like God didn't hear you? And so maybe you have to pray hard. You know, sometimes we think we have to pray harder or louder. And you know, we don't really have to pray louder. God heard us the first time. God hears the very whispers of our heart, doesn't he? I know there's a book by Steve Schultz who does a lot of prophetic ministry. He said, God, can't you talk louder? You ever feel like that? God, I can't hear you. So, you know, can you speak a little louder? There's some scripture in 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And the writer John says this. He says, I have written, this is the conclusion of his first letter. He says, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. There's a key right there, right? Any believers in here today? I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Look what he says. He says, this is the confidence. Can I tell you, friends, if you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, does that not give you confidence? Yeah. Does that not maybe put something inside of you that makes you bolder and more willing to serve God? He said, this is the confidence that we have in Him. You see, I believe if we have confidence in the relationship, we can have confidence in the request. He said, if you have confidence in knowing that you are a part of the family of God and your names are written in the Book of Life, eternal life, he said, this is the confidence that you have. You can ask anything according to His will. And He does what? He hears us. Right? So if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have whatever we ask of Him. But see, here's the key, friends. If He hears you, amen, you know you have what you ask of Him because you have confidence that you're asking things according to His will. You see, if you are in a relationship with Him, then your request will line up with your relationship with Him. Right? You would probably never ask your spouse to do something that was outside of the boundaries of your relationship with Him. Maybe even on your job, you know, hopefully your boss wouldn't ask you to do something that is totally contrary to the scope of your job description. Although we do that sometimes, don't we? The fine print we don't read, but we want to ask Him to do what is in accordance with where we are at. And so we serve God in a relationship, but we also know that this relationship gives us responsibilities, but it also gives us great privileges to come to Him in prayer. You see, John has developed this ideal of confidence in Him. He wrote to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know you have eternal life. And for those who know they have eternal life, John relates an ideal of confidence in Him in prayer. And he says if we ask anything in accordance with His will, He hears us. You see, in this we see the purpose of prayer and the secret power of prayer. You see, it is to ask anything. Ask anything in accordance with His will. And once we have done that, He hears us. Friends, can I tell you what? Your prayers are powerful when they line up in accordance with God's will. And friends, when they line up in accordance with God's will, He hears your prayers. And that's that relationship that we have that gives us the honor and the privilege of requesting things from God. Let me just ask you a question. Can God supply everything you have need of? Can God take care of you? Can God answer your prayers? He can answer all of your prayers, even if they weren't even beneficial. I don't think God would ever answer a prayer that would be contrary to His will or contrary to His word. But if it's in agreement with His word, then He can do anything for you. You see, first of all, God would have us ask Him prayer. You see, how do you know God will answer your prayer? Have you asked Him? Have you had a conversation with Him? That's the challenge that we are on for this week's book, but not just for this week, but we should be for all every day of our lives. But as believers, we are challenging you as a church to pray and intercede for your church. We're asking you to have prayer conversations with God. Amen? Not just for yourself, because really intercessory prayer isn't about for you, it's about for others. You see, I believe, friends, the prayers that God wants to answer in this church and the things that God wants to do through this church is not just for our benefit, but it's for the benefit of unbelievers and the community that's around our church and for those that will walk into a hotel room and have a meeting with. This is 2 weeks in a row that we've had visitors from this hotel come in and stay with us and enjoy a service, and we've enjoyed fellowship, and we had one last week from Colorado and from Hot Springs, Arkansas, and now we got out. Come on, friends, maybe you got to bring the States to us. That'd be okay with me. You know, the world is coming to the U.S. of A. Our colleges are loaded. Our universities are loaded with people that are from all around the world. You know, you don't have to be a missionary to go outside the boundaries of this wonderful nation. Amen. Open your eyes and look around you. The fields are wide and ready to harvest. The fields have come to America. So first of all, God will have us asking prayer. Much prayer fails because it never asks for anything. Brother James has said, you have not because you ask not. You know, friends, our God is a loving God, and He's a generous giver, and He's just waiting for us to ask. He's waiting for us to ask. So can I just encourage you to have a conversation with the Lord? Pray, because God hears your prayer. Here's the second thing I see. God not only would have us ask in prayer, but secondly, God would have us ask anything in prayer. Well, how do you know if it's not something God would answer? Did you ask it? You know, Philippians 4 and 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, there's that phrase, thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And that doesn't imply that God's going to answer everything you ask for. But how do you know God won't answer if you don't ask Him? You see, God cares about your whole life. Did you know that? Soul, body, spirit, mind, heart. God cares about you spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. God cares about our nation socially, economically, and politically. Why don't you pray for your leaders? Why don't you pray for your government? Why don't you pray for those that are in charge and that have been elected or have been hired to protect you? I noticed just the other day one of our finest Dallas police officers was murdered in his car. A newbie to the police force in Dallas. He was an educator and felt like God wanted to change direction in his life. I was just reading some of the bio on him, and just out of the blue, somebody full of hatred and anger murdered him and also wounded a couple of other of our police officers. Friends, we need to pray for those that have rule and authority and that are there to protect us. I go to two ministerial alliance meetings. We go to the ministerial alliance in Mesquite, but I've been a part of the PGMA, the Pleasant Grove, because when our church was located on Shenandoah Road, we were a part of that community, and that's the Dallas community. And we have a corporal and a senior corporal that come to almost every one of our ministerial alliances and give us information, and just they appreciate the prayers and the support of the churches and the community for them. Friends, God cares about your whole life. And nothing is too small, and nothing is too big for you to pray about. Come on. Pray. Ask God anything. You think there's any question too hard for God to answer? Come on, God's a mathematician. He's a historian. Come on, friends, he's the greatest scientist. He knows how everything operates and puts together. Come on, He formed things when there wasn't nothing to form things with. Come on, we serve a mighty God. He's a great geologist. Amen. He's the great politician, if that's a good word. I don't even want to call God a politician. That doesn't sound right, does it? But God knows everything about everything.
Amen.
So ask Him. Ask Him in prayer. Ask Him anything in prayer. And then also, God would have us to ask anything in prayer according to His will. One writer said it's easy for us to only be concerned with our will. You know, sometimes it's all about me, myself, and I, right? ask God. Ask God things that are in accordance with His will. He will accomplish His will. You know, friends, He'll accomplish His will with or without your prayers. Amen. He can do it. He's God. He wants us to see and discern His will. How do we discern God's will? We discern God's will through prayer, yes. But we also discern God's will through His Word, right? By His Spirit. Amen. God directs our lives. He shows us how to pray. You know, friends, God's Word is full of promises. Did you know that? How many of you prayed the promises of God? That's God's will. Why not pray God's promises? Because He's already told us that's what He wants for us. And if we'll pray and seek Him and turn from our wicked ways, as the writer said, and He'll hear our cries, He'll forgive our sin, He'll heal our land. We just need to pray things according to His Word and His will and His Spirit and His promises. For all the promises of God are what?
Yes.
No and no way. No, yes and amen, right? Amen. So be it. God's word is, God's promises are so be it. It's going to happen. It's going to come to pass because it's God's promises. Elisa Morgan wrote an article, How to Know If God Really Hears You. And she asked this question, how do you know that God hears you when you pray? I mean, really hears you. Even though we felt heard by God in some moments past, she says, and even though we can see instance after instance of God hearing others in Scripture, we can sometimes struggle to feel heard in the now of our lives. You know, you look at the world that we're in, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's ridiculous, the hate, the anger, just the wickedness and the deception, but does God not hear prayers anymore? Amen. Does God not? You know, come on, poor old Israel. Think about them over and over again. They defied God and they denied God. But yet God was merciful to them. And when they would call on Him in true prayer and repentance, God would answer their prayers and come to the rescue. That didn't mean there wasn't discipline for their unholy and unrighteous decisions. There are. But God hears our prayers. And friends, God's the same today, isn't He? As He was yesterday. And He'll always be forever. God's a now God. God isn't a God that dwells in the past. He's a God that dwells with us now. He's a God that's already ahead of us in our future, waiting for us to get there. Amen. God has plans for us. You know, there's this little Old Testament book of a prophet named Habakkuk. You've heard of Habakkuk? There's only about three chapters in Habakkuk. In chapter 1, Habakkuk asks this question in verse 2. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? That's an honest question. I mean, you know, he's thinking about everything that's going on in Israel. He's thinking about the wickedness that's going on. But God's going to show him about the future of how God's going to punish the nation of Israel, Judea. But he says, oh Lord, how long must I call for help? But you do not listen. I feel like we've been calling for help for a year and a half now, better. It's like, God, don't you hear us? Are you listening, God? Are you so busy somewhere else that you don't have time for us? I know maybe we're not much at times, you know, compared to other places, but God, don't you hear us? He said, look on the back and said, he said, must I forever see these evil deeds? This kind of sounds like today. Must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and to fight. I mean, that's like today. He said the law has become paralyzed and there is no justice in the courts. This is Habakkuk. And that's exactly what we're going through in today. The wicked, he even said, and the wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. But I don't know if the wicked actually totally outnumber the righteous in our life, but they sure act like it. And it seems like the voice of the wicked is so much louder than the voice of the righteous. And it seems like our justice system is perverted and the law has become paralyzed. All people want to do is argue and fight over this and that. And there's no solution. There's no teamwork anymore. There's no one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty, justice for all. It's one nation with many gods. Do whatever you want to, whatever makes you feel good, whatever makes you happy. And so we argue about those things and we fight and we pervert it. Come on, friends, it's terrible to see the state that our nation has come in. And maybe like about that, we can say, God, don't you listen anymore? Don't you hear my prayers? But look at what the Lord says. verse 5, in response to Habakkuk's cry for help, the Lord replied. He tells Habakkuk, look around at the nations. Look and be amazed. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. Wow. You know, friends, I'll be honest with you, we can't see everything God's doing. We don't know everything God's doing. All we see is the violence and the hatred and the anger and the hurt and the destruction and the devastations and everything that's going on in our world. But God's doing something underneath. There's a current of righteousness, I believe, that is moving through the earth, friends. It's moving through, I believe, in America, but it's moving overseas in the Middle East and in Europe and Asia and the Orient, friends. God is moving and He's doing something that if He told us, we wouldn't believe it in the first place. For Habakkuk, you know, he's telling Habakkuk, though, he says, you wouldn't believe it if I told you because I'm raising up an army that's going to bring destruction to Israel, the Babylonian army. And, you know, probably the people wouldn't have believed it and told them the truth anyway. You see, God goes on to reveal His plan to actually use idolatrous Babylon to accomplish His purposes. Could it be that God is using what seems to be wicked right now to accomplish His purposes in our land? You know, it looked like, you know, when you look at the story of Israel and the captivity and the persecution that they went through, you know, in the midst of that, God protected them and He grew them and He multiplied them and they were able to survive in captivity. He told them to build houses, plant vineyards, start businesses, grow your families. He said, do these things because I've got something better for you after all of this is said and done. He had a promise to bring them back to their homeland. You see, God has a plan. I see a lot of wickedness in our world, but I just also see that in the midst of all this wickedness, God's working some things out where He's going to bring their own destruction on their own heads. Amen. And He's going to raise up the church again. I still believe there is a revival yet to come that we haven't seen yet in our land. Maybe we should do like Habakkuk did. We should pray with a willingness to wait. I don't like that word wait, do y'all? Not my favorite word. Neither is W-E-I-G-H-T, wait. But that little W-A-I-T, man, that causes me a lot of problems and pain. How about you? Look what Habakkuk said. He said this, I'm going to climb up to my watchtower, and I'm going to stand at my guard post, and there I'm going to wait to see what the Lord says and how He will answer my complaint. You know, friends, we need to pray and seek God's face, but we need to wait on God. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, right? I feel like we've been waiting. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to wait any longer. I'm ready for this thing to be resolved. I'm ready to move forward. But God is doing something in the waiting that we don't understand. You see, Habakkuk has raised two important questions to God, yet he asks both with the proper attitude. You know, what are you going to do about wicked Judah? What are you going to do about these evil armies that come to punish wicked Judah? And he's asking these questions, and you know, he's anticipating an answer from God, and he's willing to wait and watch that answer come to pass. You see, often when we question God, we don't expect Him to answer, Yeah, none of y'all would ever do that, would you? Yeah, y'all don't have a one-sided relationship, do you? No, when you pray to God and seek God's face, you have to wait for Him to respond to your request. Habakkuk did this. He expected God to answer. You know, sometimes we demand that God answers our request. You know, friends, God doesn't have to answer a question from us. Who are we like Job? Who are we to know how He formed the foundations of the earth and how He calls all these creatures and everything that He made to be formed and the sun and the moon and the earth itself? You know, who are we to question God and who are we to demand God? You know, really we just need to do what? We need to come in with a correct attitude and say, God, here's my question. And I'm going to wait for the answer. Maybe this week in prayer as you're interceding for our church, as you're pleading and standing in the gaps, take a moment and just wait for God to speak back to you. Ask God for a word. Ask God for a scripture. Ask God to give you some encouragement so you can better pray and stand your ground for the kingdom and for the church. I believe Habakkuk is one of those
prophets, one of those men of God where it looked like there was very few of those left in the land, but yet he was one of those that was willing to wait. Like a Jeremiah and Isaiah, like other great prophets that were willing to wait on the Lord and to speak hard things in difficult times. Habakkuk, he prayed with a willingness to wait, but how about this? Are you willing to wait with a willingness to keep praying? You see, not only do you pray and wait, but while you're waiting, you keep praying. You know, there's a time that we don't give up. Amen. We have to keep moving forward, friends. Amen. Pray. Don't give up. Keep seeking the Lord. Amen. Yes, give him moments to, give him opportunities to speak to you and answer, but keep praying to him. Keep talking to him. Keep having conversations with him. Look at the Lord's second reply to Habakkuk in chapter 2. He said, the Lord said to me, after he talked about being in a watchtower and waiting on the Lord, the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. He said, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. You see, God had given him this vision of what was going to happen for Israel, which had happened. Yeah, the destruction, the terrible devastation that was going to happen because of the Babylonian army and Assyria. So God saw this, and he was to write this down and make it plain so people would understand that God had already spoken this to come to pass. But maybe he's also talking about the end for us as well, for all time, is that we need to hear that God has a plan. And can I tell you, friends, God's written it down in his word, right? Through those New Testament writers, through John, the Gospel of John, and through John the Revelator, God has given us an understanding of what is going to be fulfilled in the last time. You know what we need to do as we're waiting for the coming of the Lord? Keep praying. Keep working. Keep serving. Keep moving. You know, friends, God didn't expect us just to become complacent, to become content, but God expects the church to be moving forward as we're waiting expectantly for the coming of the Lord. You know, he had to be willing to wait, but in his waiting, he kept praying. He kept speaking. He kept talking to the Lord. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. The Babylonian conquest would not be evident in his day, but in the future. I believe the victory is coming at near soon in the future for our church. I really do. But you know, there's this word delay. I don't like that either. Kind of wait, delay. You know what it means to put off to a later time? Anybody ever delayed something before? Mm-hmm. Come on, how many people ordered something from Amazon and it got delayed? I ordered a box of paper towels for the church one time from Amazon. And we waited week and week and week and it never came. And finally, it just got to a point it's not going to be delivered because they never shipped it because they probably didn't even have the product. So I had to reorder the product to have it reshipped. I used Home Depot to get it done that time. But there's this process of delaying, and I don't like delay, to put off to a later time. It also means to impede the process. Here's that word I use a lot, right, Lynn? To impede the process or progress of. You know what the enemy's trying to do? He's trying to impede our process. He's trying to impede the progress. You know, friends, if we give up and think that God's going to just keep delaying the answer and keep delaying the victory, and we just give up on the church and we give up on the answers and we just said, okay, Lord, I had enough. I'll just go find another church that's already thriving and surviving and moving forward. And you know what we're doing? We're impeding the process. God has a process he's taking us through. I don't understand it. And Lord, I wish he would move it further, quicker, hurry it up. But you know, if we miss out on the process, then we'll miss out on the progress that God's trying to do in our lives. God's working on the church. Amen. You that are watching, God's working on the church. Amen. He's speaking. And I know it's been difficult. Believe me, you don't feel it any worse than I do. I've had many sleepless nights in the last year and a half. I've struggled. I still have those moments in my walk with the Lord that I'm just like, Lord, is it going to happen? How can we afford this? How can we see this happen? But at the same time, I don't want to impede God's progress and his process. And so we have to be faithful to God. Just because something is taking longer than expected doesn't mean it won't happen. Can I say that one more time? Just because something is taking longer than expected, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's all about keeping the faith. It's all about staying determined that God will come through in His time. I think I was listening to Bill Johnson, pastor of Bethel out in California. I was listening to one of his services about delay. He was just saying something about you can't make God answer your prayers any faster, but you can cause God to answer your prayers slower. Think about that for a while. By not participating with God in your prayer in life, by not coming into agreement with what God is saying, then could it be that you're hindering God from answering your prayers? God has a perfect timing, and He's going to answer them when it's time, but maybe you're not ready. Maybe I'm not ready. Maybe that's been the holdup, is that we haven't been ready for what God wants to do next in our church. You see, friends, when things don't go according to plan, it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to lose that expectancy and that joy. Can I just tell you this? Delay is not denial. It's just a detour on the road to success. Just because there's been delay, even though we've been praying, even though we've been seeking God and interceding with God, even though it seems like we've done our part and we still don't have an answer, it's not denial. It's just God's working things out for us, and maybe He's maneuvering some other things. You know, how many of you ever drive up Highway 80 from 40? Come on, I know some of you come that way, and it's frustrating and all the construction they're doing. It is crazy. And you look at it, it's like, this don't make sense. Why are they doing this way and this that way? And now they close down the side that goes what, back east and south, and they close down that side of the highway and because they've got the northwestbound side open now on that new part. And so they've taken the east side and they push it over to the old west side. And it just doesn't make sense. But God has to sometimes maneuver things around like construction so they can what? Take down some old things or raise up some new things. And that's what God is doing in our lives. He's moving some things around so that He can raise up some things in our life to help us proceed in the process and the progress. Delay is not denial. It's just a detour on the road to success. So keep pushing forward. Come on, Jose, come back, buddy. So keep pushing forward. Never give up, because God's answers to your prayers will come. That might just take a little longer than you expect. Can somebody just say with me, Lord, it's been long enough.
Yeah.
And he looks back at us and laughs. Says, what time is it? You know the psalmist, I'm about finished here, Psalms 18:6. He said, but in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help, and He heard me from His sanctuary. My cry to Him reached His ears. You know, sometimes we think, God, you're so far off. You know, how could you ever hear our little prayers? Can I tell you, friends, your cries will reach the ears of the Lord. Can I tell you, His arm is not too short. His ear is not too heavy that He can hear you too. So even when you don't see an answer to your prayer, don't think that God's not hearing and God's not listening and God's not moving. Maybe He's working on a detour process. And maybe it's not just us He's detouring. Maybe He's working some other things out on the other side of the road to get our side of the road prepared for us. I can't explain everything God does. And just because He's delayed the process doesn't mean He's denied us the blessing. Because as that last quote said, Lord, delayed but not denied. That little boy ain't going to get his hand in that cookie jar, is he? He's going to figure out a way. You know, friends, we just got to keep on reaching. The Bible says, press on towards the mark for the prize. of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press on. Don't give up. Keep believing. Keep seeking. The Bible says, ask, seek, knock. And that's not a one time. That's a continuous. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Not just for the church, but for your life, for your family, for yourself, whatever you're walking through today. Maybe you feel like your prayers aren't being answered for you, your health, your finances, maybe your job, whatever it is. Just know that God hears your prayers if you'll keep seeking Him. Just keep praying. Keep waiting. Just allow the process to work out. Father, I thank you today for the answer to our prayers. And Lord, I'm just going to say thank you for the non-answer to our prayers that you haven't answered yet. Are the ones that you're not going to answer because you've got something better for us. Or maybe the prayers you're answering in a totally different way than the way we're praying for them. Lord, I just say thank you. Thank you that you know everything, the beginning from the end. You know all the in-betweens, Lord. Lord, I'm going to be honest, this has been a long journey. Oh, I know. It's nothing compared to Abraham's journey, to Moses' journey, to Noah's journey, to Elijah's journey, to other men and women of the faith, Lord. The Lord, it sure feels like a long time. And the wait's been hard, I'll be honest, Lord. But I know one day it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. When we see Jesus.